Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
He will not be mocked.
Don't touch me.
He will not be mocked. The greatest deception here is this is not one nation under God. It never was. Had it been, it would not have been. No. It would not have been. The Constitution would not have been written by Freemasons. They go against God. You cannot serve two masters.
But that is not Nancy Pelosi, folks. That is not Nancy Pelosi.
Now that the government is reopened and this threat to our economy is removed, all of us need to stop focusing on the lobbyists and the bloggers and the talking heads on radio.
Shut them down, Barry.
Activists who profit from conflict and
shut down the internet.
The majority of Americans
sent you got the votes, man. Shut down the internet. Who's going to stop you, John Boehner? Now's your time, Mr. Obama. Shut down the internet. Shut down talk radio. Reign supreme. Welcome to the Savage Nation. It's getting crazier by the minute. Of course, the sadness of the stenographer cracking up is something to behold. It's maybe she was the only one not on meds during the debates. I don't know. Certainly you can't say that about John McCain or John Boehner. I'm sure that they're adequately medicated. And look, here's the thing. I'm not talking about the shutdown, and I'm not going to shut up. No matter what happens with the shutdown, I'm not going to shut up. What I'm going to do is talk for a while. Today was a golden day for me, and I'm going to tell you why. Every once in a while, a good day comes along in talk radio. Don't assume everyone's happy every day doing this. It's a very demanding, difficult act to perform every day. Don't let anyone fool you. And they say the best fun, this and that. Not true. Everyone's struggling. And today was a good day for me. Why? Because I had a conference call with 70 individuals who run radio stations around the country and media individuals in the radio, managers, owners in the radio, basically telling them what I'm going to be doing when my show moves to drive time on the biggest stations in the country, the best real estate in the country, on the great Cumulus heritage stations around America, and many, many others. And I was so pleased when I learned that the Chief Operating Officer John Dickey agreed to come on the show. He agreed only at the last second. And what he said was like a shot in the arm for me for many different reasons. And I want to tell you this. When you listen to John Dickey's comments, which I think were prepared off the cuff, I almost said off the cup, off the cuff, you're going to hear some amazing statements. And I want to read you some of them before we play them, because this is radio history. What I'm about to play for you on the Savage Nation is talk radio history. Not only does it indicate that the decision to put Michael Savage on these big stations to replace the wall banger was not made in a cavalier manner, it was well thought out, but also there's a direction that the owners of the biggest company in radio are thinking of going, and I'm going there. Let's put it to you that way. And you'll hear it in a minute, and then I'm going to ask you some questions, and I'm going to read you some articles. Chief Operating Officer John Dickey introduced Savage by saying the company chose to work with him because of his proven abilities as a storyteller and raconteur. This is from Talkers Magazine. Savage assured affiliates that the show would not change dramatically in its new time and reminded them his program aired in drive time in the Pacific time zone for 16 years. He stated that as a news talk program, talking about the issues of the day are his bread and butter, and said politics is a big part of that. But he also said he would continue to talk about topics he knows his listeners want to hear about outside of the realm of politics. Savage moves to his new drive time day part in the new year. That's from Talkers Magazine. NTS Media Online wrote it this way, one of the best raconteurs ever. I'll summarize it in a short manner. In a conference call for current and future affiliates of the Savage Nation held early today, Cumulus Media EVP COO John Dickey had nothing but praise for Michael Savage as the talk host readies for his rollout in the afternoon drive come January, a move that will put his daily Cumulus Media Network syndicated show in primetime on some of talk radio's biggest major market stations. Compelling content on talk radio tends to come from people who are extremely smart, extremely curious, intellectually adventurous, and not afraid to take risks and give their opinion, said John Dickey. They can look at the things that are right and wrong with our country and society and be able to relate their thoughts and opinions in a way that is humorous, insightful, direct, and thought-provoking. That's a hard set of criteria for any host, but Michael Savage lines up wonderfully with all of them, he said. As we all know, there's a fine line between intellectual genius and craziness, and I can say that in all due respect, Michael walks that line wonderfully. Plus, he's also one of the best raconteurs I've ever had the pleasure of spending time with. He's earned this move, and I think he's going to do a wonderful job in engaging and growing the audience and at delivering the numbers. In reply, Savage said, "All I can say after that, John, is that you have set the stage for me in a way that I couldn't do for myself, and I'm humbled by your statements." The eloquent introduction prompted Savage to suggest that John Dickey might want to consider a career as a talk radio host, to which the Cumulus executive quickly replied, "Thanks, Michael, but I don't think I'll quit my day job anytime soon." So that went on today, and I must tell you that it gave me the, it just gave me an injection of interest and confidence in the move that's coming in January. And I want to assure my listeners that I'm not going to just simply turn into a storyteller, although I could do that. I'm going to continue to focus on the news of the day, but I can tell you after listening and watching what's happening in the world and in the media and in the minds of the American people, which I believe I can sense as good as anybody, they are tuned out. After this last debacle, which was a Category 5 hurricane, the Tea Party gave it its best shot. They were undermined by the Republican Party, obviously opposed by Obama and the Socialist Democrats, and you know who lost. And you know who won. And let me tell you this. Even the diehards don't want to hear it anymore. They will only hear losers and complainers, and they don't want to be associated with loss and complaint. That's my opinion. So to go on and on and on and say it would have worked if the Republicans had backed Ted Cruz reminded me very much of the complaints the left has made for the last 70 years about why communism never worked before. I kept hearing the reason communism collapsed in the Soviet Union is because it was never given a chance. It was opposed by the United States. So now I'm going to listen to the same rubbish on the other side? It's not going to happen. It's not happening. It's going to take some act of God to stop the steamroller of socialism that is crushing American individualism and crushing the entrepreneurial spirit in this country. Obama's just warming up. He's going to push amnesty. He's going to seize your guns. He'll shut down the internet and talk radio unless there is a populist uprising against this mania. And let me tell you something else. All of those agenda items that I just mentioned were not picked out of left field. They have been dream babies of the left forever, and the Republicans would like them just as well. Because when there was talk several years ago of the so-called fairness doctrine, many mainstream Republicans lined up with the Democrats calling for the banning of talk radio, meaning the introduction of the Fairness Act. I can name them. Some of them are still in office. I was shocked by it, but not surprised. I was shocked that they would be so naked as to expose themselves. So don't fool yourself and think that it's just coming from Obama and the Democrat socialists. The desire for total and absolute control over the message is coming from the entire oligarchy. Or as some would say, the plutarchy. It doesn't matter who is doing it. What matters is that we must oppose it. When I come back on the Savage Nation, I will play Mr. Dickey's comments for you. It's 5 minutes long. Then I will ask you these questions. I'll ask you to listen very carefully, and then I'll ask you the questions. In the interim, the phone number here is 855-400-7282. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Welcome back to the new Savage Nation. We're talking about talking. We're talking about talk radio. We're talking about my time change. And let me say this before I play John Dickey's speech from this morning. I won't call it a speech because it was on the cuff. I didn't know that anyone could be that articulate, and I mean every word I say. I'm in the talk business. There wasn't a word that was stated wrongly, nor had it be corrected. In every industry, there's someone behind the scenes that everyone wants to meet. They're legendary. For example, if you go back to the early days of movies, MGM, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, if you could have met Harry B. Mayer, There are many people who would have killed to get to meet Harry B. Mayer. Everyone said they knew Harry Mayer, but they didn't. They never met him. They didn't know what he looked like or sounded like. People in the business wanted to meet him. Well, in the radio industry, we have the same situation. And it's amazing that John agreed to come on the conference call with me this morning and that he gave me permission to play what you're about to hear. It's a one-off deal. You're never going to hear this again. I can almost guarantee you. Now let's listen to John Dickey, Radio King, about Michael Savage.
I appreciate everybody taking time out of their day to join this call and have an opportunity to interact with Michael Savage. And I know you all are going to be in for a treat here, and it's a privilege to be able to hear him speak and also be able to ask some questions. So I won't take up too much time and let Michael get to that. But what I wanted to do is kind of set the table and give everybody a little bit of background on how this came about and why we feel Michael moving to afternoon drive and talk radio and certainly on some of the biggest stations in talk radio is really going to be extremely impactful and helpful to us. And as I've always said, if we feel it works and have good reason to believe it, we'd really like you guys to, all of you on the call, to give Michael's show fair consideration for the same reason. Talk radio, as all of us know, talk radio has gone through a lot of ups and downs in the last couple of years. And ultimately, what I think is going to lead the way back out of some of those low points in talk radio is more compelling content. And compelling content really is a generalized statement, but really, when you think about compelling content, the things that come to mind for me, and I'm sure all of you would agree with this, compelling content in talk radio really tends to be the purview of people that are extremely smart, extremely curious, intellectually adventurous, and people that are not afraid to take risk, and certainly not afraid to open up sort of the aperture of their opinion and discussion and look at a lot of things that are right and wrong with our country and society, and be able to relate that and tell that in ways that are humorous, that are insightful, that are direct, and that are thought-provoking. And that's a very hard set of criteria to find someone to be able to carry off in today's day and age. And really, quite frankly, it's been a very hard set of criteria to try to get talk show host to live up to since the beginning of this format when Rush heralded in his show back in the mid to late 80s. Michael Savage, as he's come into this business, really lines up wonderfully with all of those criteria. He's an extremely well-read, smart person. There is a fine line between, as we all know, intellectual genius and craziness, and Michael walks that line wonderfully, and I say that in all due respect. He is one of the more thought-provoking people that I've ever had a conversation with, and he also is one of the best raconteurs that I've ever had the privilege of spending time with. He's a great storyteller, and you know, I think in our medium today and in talk radio, we forget that we are in the business of theater of the mind, of getting people to engage and listen and spend more time with us by virtue of telling stories. And challenging people, and Michael understands that as well as anybody. And to pass on a compliment to Rush, Rush obviously understands that exceptionally well, and has done a wonderful job of that over the years. And that's why we're thrilled to continue to be in business with Rush. So, from my perspective, for what it's worth, Dr. Savage, Michael brings an amazing intellect, an amazing curiosity, a passion, an ability to tell stories. And an unending curiosity to explore and to challenge his listeners and bring them along in that journey. And he wakes up every day living and breathing this. And his energy is commendable in his desire to compete and to move the needle in markets that he's in. I've never seen anything like it before. So that's a quick backdrop on why Michael Savage for Cumulus and why Michael Savage for Cumulus in the day part he's in. He has earned that right, and I think he is going to do a wonderful job and really, again, engage the audience, grow the audience, and ultimately deliver numbers. And that's really what this is all about. All of what I said is great, but if the numbers are not there, it's all for naught. And one thing that we know about Michael Savage is he produces. And we're seeing that, obviously, in the day part he's in some of the biggest markets and biggest settings in our business. So we're extremely excited. I'm thrilled to be in business with him, and I'm thrilled to have him jump in and start swinging away in afternoon drive. And without further ado, Michael, take it away. Dennis, thank you very much.
Savage.
Well, you just heard it. That was an inside, behind-the-curtain call. It was very, very dynamic. I was obviously impressed with his commitment to me. I like the statement that radio is a theater of the mind, which it is. I was impressed with his statements that it requires a certain intellectual daring and curiosity to do radio on a daily basis and keep the audience listening. And I'd like to ask you, my listeners, a few questions. The main question would be, what did you think of Mr. Dickey's analysis of my show? What do you think my show should sound like come January? Where do you think my show will have the greatest and most noticeable impact? For example, we have midterm elections coming up next November. Believe me, the show will have an impact on the independents. My signature is news, views, and reviews, and I won't disappoint you on that. What past family story do you think relates best to today's headlines? You know, this week I've been reading from my paperback Train Tracks. Do you like the way I interconnect personal stories with today's headlines, or would you rather just hear straight-out news talk? The phone number here is 855-400-7282. You're listening to the one and only Savage Nation. Let's begin in New York City on WABC. Joe, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Michael. What comes through when you speak, I'm in the profession of speaking, I'm a college professor, is that you're motivated by the love to want to communicate, and your voice comes through. That Bronx accent that I also have, whatever it is, it's real. It's street, but it's real, and it's intellectual.
That's it. See, it's easy to dismiss me as a guy who works on the waterfront, but I don't work on the waterfront. I work on the radio front.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
An anomaly, by definition, is not an appropriation. This is an authorization. I mean, and to have that put into a bill that is an appropriation.
You know what? What difference does it make? Why are we talking about it?
You hear the Bugs Bunny of American politics, Nancy Pelosi. A reporter asks her about the graft, the corruption, the pork barrel spending, which they created a new euphemism for called anomaly. Yeah, my day it was pork barrel spending or corruption or graft. Now it's called anomaly. And she says, what difference does it make? We actually didn't get enough money. It's incredible, beyond belief. Now the news headlines. Every 30 minutes, news headlines. What's the latest? Cops say teen found with human remains in bag at store. Florida killers on loose after being mistakenly released. Alleged U.S. trafficker linked to Mexican cartel grenades. San Fran's Union Square reopens after bomb square. Mass vets remains returned from Korea 63 years later. College football team boycotts practice. All this and more right here on the Savage Nation. Here's another breaking news story. Police say a teacher high on heroin passed out in class. Yes. The new educational standards of America. Now let's go to the calls. WABC, Bob, go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
I want to just tell you, just go with your gut on the show, and because that's what we count on. You know, your gut is what makes us crack up, whether it's the news of the day or your meatball recipe or a little petty. He makes me laugh and get through my day, and I'm sure that's how a lot of you are.
I've got to repeat again. Radio is an entertainment medium. It's a very important entertainment medium. It's a great way to get out the news, but I will not get stuck and hung up and go on and on for 3 hours and wrap myself in the flag. I won't do it. It's embarrassing to listen to people do it, and I thank you for the call. Nothing wrong with the flag, but you know what? You're not a soldier. I love all of the talk show hosts who are suddenly martial arts fighters, soldiers, warriors. I never heard anything like this. It's approaching the level of a madhouse. I wouldn't listen to it. If you do, good luck to you. But, you know, turnabout is fair play. That's all I can say. And if I have the drive time slot and I play Yiddish music at the end of the third hour as a lead-in to whoever they may put on behind me, or a Paraguayan folk music, that's his loss. I could play Paraguayan music for 15 minutes. I don't know what I might do. Let's go to the next caller, KSFO. Michael, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, Mike, hey, you're the only person that does it. So before the night's over, could you do the personal ads, the ones that are really funny when you imitate?
Oh, remember those from the early days of KSFO radio when I used to read the personal ads from the Bay Guardian? You know, women looking for men, men looking for women, that kind of thing. Well, I did it well before they became pretty vulgar.
Oh, they're great when you do it. It's great.
Well, I mean, there was never any vulgarity. I mean, it was like, I used to translate, I remember, let's see if I can remember, if a woman says she's earthy, it means that she's probably, well, I forget now. I don't want to just throw it out. I forget the whole list. It was hilarious. You remember back to those days?
Oh, sure. Listen. Those are good days, and they're still good days.
They are good days. That's right. The sun still comes up in the morning, and Obama hasn't stopped the sun from rising, has he?
Not at all.
No, he hasn't stopped my son from rising, and he hasn't stopped me from watching the seagulls hunt, or the terns dive, or the ferns thrive. He hasn't stopped nature yet, not in my in my life. Sometimes you got to tune these people out. They think that they're the sun, the moon, and the stars. Well, thank you very much for staying with the show for all of these years. WWTN in Tennessee, Dustin, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, I just want to tell you, keep on doing what you're doing. Since I have no grandparents left, you're like the grandparent telling the stories that I wish I paid attention to when I was younger.
Bye, Cracky. Here I am in the old age home telling my stories. Bye, Cracky. Bring me out that rye cracker and some blankies.
Thank you. I don't mind being called a grandfather. It doesn't bother me. It's an honor in most societies, except in this demented society. They'd rather watch a young 20-year-old slut put a pornographic device against herself and then sell a record. That's the new hero of the America. New hero of America. She'll be in the White House soon. The ex-Mickey, the Mickey Mouse girl. The more vulgar she gets, I guarantee you she's on Obama's radar to give her an invite. After all, he might get that set voting for him. You never can tell. Sickening, isn't it? Not getting any easier. Obama faces an embittered far right. You hear the CNN, those idiots. Far right. What far right? You mean Americans who want lower taxes? Well, then we're all far right. Let's get a new bumper sticker. I'm the far right. Put it on your granny's car. Paul on WABC, you're next up. What's on your mind?
Well, congratulations, Dr. Savage. And I wanted to say about thought-provoking personality, it goes beyond that. Most radio talk show hosts just hit you with rhetoric. They're schooling you. You make people think outside the box. And you not only teach, but you inspire. And just a side note, you have one of the best voices in talk radio. It's actually relaxing. Even when you get angry, you have a fantastic radio voice. I've been listening to you for 15 years.
Wow.
And it is just a calming voice.
That's very interesting. I heard that people used to play my show just to calm down barking dogs.
It's a remarkable, benefit for a talk radio show host to be angry and calming at the same time.
Well, I don't know how people can listen to people who sound like Fredo, who's screaming, I'm smart.
Send Fredo off to do this. Send Fredo off to do that. Let Fredo take care of some Mickey Mouse nightclub somewhere.
I'm sorry. No, look, if you can pitch, you should be in baseball. If you can talk, you should be in talk radio. But if you throw like a girl, you shouldn't be in baseball. And if you sound like Fredo, you shouldn't be in radio. But thank you for listening. 855-407. I'm just warming up. If people are going to start attacking me, they don't know what's coming. They have no idea what I can do to them. Carter on KSFO, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael Savage, how are you today, man? 1776.
That's good. I didn't hear the whole thing about 76. Are you at a filling station?
I'm sorry, my friend. 1776. Congratulations on the move to Cunawis in January, by the way.
Well, thank you. What's on your mind?
Well, I mean, the federal government is on my mind mostly, and I'm breaking.
I know. Well, I'm not going there right now. I got a pain in the neck already from a bad massage. I had a masseuse come in. I never saw anything like it. I told you what happened. It's 2 weeks later. My right leg was out, so I don't like people touching me to begin with. Okay, I told you that. I don't trust people manipulating my spine and my neck. I never let anyone do it, ever. I don't like the, when I hear them cracking people's joints, I don't know how they could do this. You got to be insane to let people do that, to manipulate your bones. I made the mistake. I said, don't give me the Rolfing job. No thumbs into the deep muscles. No Rolfing. I want a massage, whatever. Oh, fine. Well, she knows I like to have my head rubbed. So she calmed me down like a turkey about to be slaughtered. And the minute I relaxed, she dug her thumbs into my neck. I can't move my neck now 2 weeks later, and my leg is worse. So, you know, the answer, the adage is leave well enough alone. Learn to live with your problems. I have a little story to tell you about the bums in America, the welfare bums, the welfare cheats, the lazy, crying, fake victims. One of the guys who works for me is of Korean descent. I won't mention his name. He's a wonderful person. And his mom was born in North Korea. He told me today, we were talking about the bums on the government dole and the welfare and how Obama feeds them and keeps telling them it's okay to be a victim and to take other people's money. He's infuriated by it. He said, he never talks about it. You know, he's very, you know, taciturn. He said, you know what my mom went through. I said, I think you told me once. We had a few drinks like a year ago. He said, well, you know, remember, Michael? I said, no. He said she left North Korea with 70 of her relatives wearing only her clothing and her shoes to escape the communist Chinese that had invaded North Korea to flee to South Korea. We're talking a long time ago. He said they had to flee and move only at night through the forests. She lost 70 of her relatives on the pilgrimage, the exodus to South Korea. And she arrived with her clothing, and they left in winter in the snow. I said, what the heck did they eat? He said they ate tree bark and insects and anything they could catch. And when you realize what the human being is capable of and what the human being has lived through and is living through right now, and you see a nation of yellow-bellied leeches like we are breeding in this country, breeding yellow-bellied leeches and building up the number of yellow-bellied leeches, what do you think our enemies see? What do you think Putin sees? What do you think Al-Qaeda sees? What do you think the Chinese see when they see a nation of weaklings being bred by a welfare king like Barack Obama? So don't think I don't see reality, and don't think I've given up what I think is right or wrong and I'm going to stop talking about it. I will not stop talking about it. Never forget one thing about me. I am an immigrant's son. In that regard, I have one foot in the old world and one foot in the new world. And I've worked for everything I have in my life. No one gave me a dime. And I don't want anything from the government. I never did. And let me tell you something else. The Tea Party, the hardline conservatives, are 1,000% right in trying to rein in this insane budget. And if you think this is over, you're mistaken. The crooks are going to come back in 2 months with the same exact problem. They can't go on like this forever. And there's only two solutions to the problem. Raise taxes, which they cannot do in an election year, so they won't do that. Cut spending. They're not going to cut spending, are they? So what's the third alternative? I'll let you figure it out. But there's an alternative they haven't thought about, which I've given you for the last 3 nights. And you know what that is? Give bankruptcy a chance. I've told you we should default on our debt. We have to consider default. It worked for Argentina. It's worked for Russia. It's worked for Greece. And there's absolutely no great loss for us to default on our debt. When I heard Warren Buffett come on the air yesterday and have the nerve to say we should have no limits on our debt, there is no reason to have a limit on our debt, I couldn't believe what I was listening to. But then I realized all is lost. It's hopeless. It's very, very bad when you hear a businessman of his stature calling for no limits on our debt. Wouldn't you like to have no limits on your credit card? Wouldn't you like to be able to call up your banker and say, you know, I've refied my house twice. I'd like to take out a loan on the entire amount that my house is worth, not even the equity, the full value, and I'd like to take it out 10 times this year. Can I do that? Sure, you can do that. There's no limit on your debt. Go ahead. Whatever you want to do. You got, let's see, your house is worth $500,000. I'll give you $5 million. We don't need any equity whatsoever. Remember, when you get a loan, you need to provide equity. The first house I bought when I was young, I saved all my life and I bought a $45,000 house here in the Bay Area. I had to put down $9,000, not $8,000, not $8,500. The bank insisted on 20% down or I couldn't have gotten that 20-year or 30-year mortgage. That's the way it was. That's when things were still sane. Now what? They give you a mortgage with nothing down? A no equity loan? How many times can they give you a no equity loan? Well, Obama likes to take no equity loans. Nancy Pelosi said there should be no debt limit. Warren Buffett likes no equity loans. Where does this end? How does it end? It doesn't end well. If you want to comment not on my speech about the economy, because I've covered it and covered it, I'd rather talk about radio and what you expect to hear from now on. The storytelling is good. Let's see what else. Are you excited to be part of this time change? I mean, many of you have listened to me for, will be 20 years this March. You're moving with me. Do you listen to talk radio only for information? Or how important is entertainment and variety when listening? What do you find most engaging about the Savage Nation? Right? And why do you think Michael Savage is good for radio advertisers? What is it you enjoy most about the Savage Nation? What would you like to hear more of? How often do you visit michaelsavage.com? If you can answer or want to answer any of these questions, fine. If not, I'll do it for you. The callers will do it for you. And I will give you all of the new top stories as they break right here on the Savage Nation throughout the show. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You know what I have in my hand as I speak to you on this microphone? This phenomenal microphone, this gift that I have. It's a gift. You think I don't remember it? It's all a miracle to me. The whole thing's a miracle. Life, the microphone, my health, my voice, my audience. Years ago, people would send me little gifts. They loved me so much. They don't anymore. They don't love me anymore. One guy created a Liberty Bell for me, which I cherish. 20 years ago, like 10 years ago, a guy carved a cane for me. It had a head, like a king's head, that looked like me a little bit. Not really. And on it, he put borders, language, culture. Hand-carved. One of my listeners. It's like in the Savage Museum. You know, I have my little museum in all my studios. It's amazing what people can create out there. Let's see what's on the back. He had something. I have this stick in my hand here. It's amazing. Oh, I didn't even look at this in all these years. Lying, cheating, stealing. Oh, he was talking about the Democrats in those days. Yeah, lying, cheating. They're all pickpockets. In another time, they would have just been pickpockets on the streets of New York. But today, they've got a golden touch. They don't even have to pickpockets, and they don't face jail because they are the law. They're a law unto themselves. Donna on WMAL, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello, Dr. Savage.
Hi there.
I just want to say to you, as one of your new kids on the block, I absolutely cannot wait for you to entertain the drive time commuters right here at the Beltway. It's going to be amazing, I think. They'll get a...
Well, it's, I don't know. Are they in cars at 3 o'clock to 6? Or when are they in cars? When are they in their bulletproof limousines going to their dashes out in Virginia?
Some, I would say. Maybe the Redskins or the Thinskins or whatever you...
So you only started listening on WMAL when I joined MAL, right?
Yes, sir. That is correct.
Donna, let me send you a copy of my paperback Train Tracks, because if you like my show, you'll love the family stories that are in there. You've heard some of them this week. Stand in line. 855-407-2822. Hank, KKOH in Reno. I'm one of the few people who actually likes Reno. You know, you got to understand something about Reno. If you live in California, everyone has an affinity for Tahoe. That's a great place to go. I happen to love Incline Village. I go to the Hyatt Lake Tahoe maybe once or twice a year when, you know, off season. I have to go in the snow on an off weekend. Love it. The dog, the snow, this and that. It's amazing. I'm not a skier. I'm not an ice skater. I could do certain things well. I can't paint. I can't ski. I can't ice skate. I don't speak foreign languages, and I'm not good at math. But I'm really good at talk radio and at writing books. Can't do it all. But Reno, I'm trying to get at, is the other Tahoe, and I still love it. And KKOH is a powerhouse station that comes out of Reno. It's got a certain magic to it. Hank on KKOH, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Oh, sir, thank you for taking my call. I have not talked to you for a long time. I used to talk to you back in the old days in San Jose, and all the time. You always used to take my calls. You're always really special about that. And I always listen to everything you say. I understand you understand life as being an American better than anybody. I noticed that out here in Nevada, you know, people are different here. It's a different life. But what I miss is, this is why I'm going to go back.
Well, what do you do for a living, Hank?
I'm working for this company. It's like I don't know. I'm not allowed to say who I work for.
All right, so whatever you do. But what is it that you want me to do that I'm not doing?
You're doing fine. I want you to play more John Coltrane. I'm a guitarist. I'm going back to California.
All right, guitarist wants to hear Coltrane. We'll go out tonight on Coltrane. WABC, Jeff, you're next up. Go ahead. What's on your mind, Jeff?
Oh, yeah. Hi, Michael. I just want to say I've been listening to you for over 20 years, and even when you were juggling back and forth from different stations out here in New York, and the fact that you're so educated and yet down to earth, and you rationalize everything, and...
Well, Jeff, remember, if you can walk with kings and never lose the common touch, then you'll be a man, my son. That's one of the phrases from a great poet that has been my guiding star, one of my guiding stars, let's say a constellation of my stars.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
We know that just the threat of default, of America not paying all the bills that we owe on time,
you mean that you owe?
Increased our borrowing costs.
You mean that you owe, not that we owe.
And of course, we know that the American people's frustration with what goes on in this town.
No, we're frustrated by you, not by the American people.
That the American people are completely fed up with Washington.
You mean the grifters. You mean the amnesty seekers. You mean the corrupt businessmen. You mean the illegal aliens, not the American people per se. We are the American people. We pay the bills, and we're sick of that. Anyway, it's enough politics for now. What's in the news? Oh, God, it's awful. It's just awful. Here's a few headlines from the Middle East. Again, Obama put the Mixmaster into the Middle East and destroyed it. You want me to read you the Middle East now? 48 Shiites killed in terrorist attacks in Iraq. German embassy shut in Kabul. This is breaking news. Palestinian driving a tractor shot dead, crashing into a Israeli army operative. It's unbelievable. I'm not going to say the Middle East was a dollhouse before Obama came along, but you know what he did to Egypt. You know what he did to Libya. You know what he's trying to do to Syria. It's a shock. It's just a shock. And all the men died in Iraq for what? For what? What did they die for in liberating the people from Saddam Hussein? A greater Iran, as I unfortunately feared would happen in my book from 2005 or 06, Liberalism is a Mental Disorder. So, look, I don't like reading the news headlines because I know it depresses me and it depresses you. And you can get the news headlines on your own. That's an interesting fact unto itself. I mean, what am I going to be doing with the show come the drive time? Exactly what I'm doing now. Of course it's, you know, news, views, and reviews, and I'll do the news. I have to. Especially news that I think is beyond belief. I have to talk about it. But if it's going to be the same old, you heard it all day long. McConnell, you hear? McConnell, this is the gobbler. No more shutdowns over Obamacare. Can you believe a word that comes out of this fraud's mouth? From the twisted yellow teeth to the gobbler neck? Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell made it clear on Thursday that repealing Obamacare would never be used by Republicans again to bring the federal government to a halt. He's, I think we are fully now acquainted, our new members, with what a losing strategy that is. McConnell, of course, got a $2 billion buyout in order to go along with Harry Reid. So now McConnell is suddenly singing Obama's from Obama's songbook. Beyond belief. Obama says to Republicans, go win an election. Oh, God, it's so boring. Obama, this. Ted Cruz isn't ruling out another shutdown to fight Obamacare. I would say, Ted, back off a little bit. Back off, Ted. You're not doing yourself any favors here. Don't do it. Don't shut it down. Just tell America to default on their debt. Spell out a strategy on why telling the Chinese to go pound rice would be a very good idea. Because they outmaneuvered us. They wouldn't revalue their currency. They kept it artificially low in order to dump their goods on our shore. They will not pay tariffs because they, frankly, lobbied against any tariffs on their dumping. So what's turnabout is fair play. I think that we should consider default. And I think that Ted Cruz should consider that as a strategy and stop with the Obamacare already. It's an obsession. I keep telling you that I know what Obamacare is. It's a disaster. It's socialized medicine on steroids. It's going to turn more Americans against the Democrats than anything any Republican can do. Just let it be. As the Beatles said, let it be. The worst thing you could do is fight what's already bad. Let it show itself for what it is. That's why it's a bad strategy. Anyway, it's enough of that. In the first hour, I played a speech from a radio king on my conference from my conference call this morning, and that's John Dickey's incredible. I'll always remember it. I'm having it made into a CD, and I'm going to play it in my car. Why? Well, you got to understand something about radio hosts that maybe no one will admit. They all pretend that they're macho and they are on top of their game and nothing bothers them and they don't need any praise. Nonsense. Radio hosts who survive are entertainers at heart if they're good at it. It doesn't matter whether they're patriotic. At the end of the day, they have to be very good at what they do. And they have to be able to entertain you and engage you. Let's put it that way. They have to be engaging. Let's not use the word entertaining because it's taken on a new meaning. A good radio host has to be engaging, whatever that entails. In order to do this on a daily basis, you need to have some kind of support. You need people to admire you, to support you, to love you, to throw you accolades. We never get it. Our listeners may like us, but if you only hear that all day long, and I hear the setup calls from some of the hosts. Oh, I love you. I don't know what America would be like without you. Blah, blah, blah. I don't listen to it. If I hear one of those calls on any show, I turn it off. So I don't want people to call me and do that for me. Trust me, I don't need it. I don't need it from that. But when it comes from a radio king, as it did from John Dickey, it meant an awful lot to me because of the way it was said and what he actually said. And you have to have heard the speech. He says, Michael Savage can look at the things that are right and wrong with our country and society and be able to relate his thoughts and opinions in a way that is humorous, insightful, direct, and thought-provoking. Compelling content on talk radio, he said, tends to come from people who are extremely smart, extremely curious, intellectually adventurous, and not afraid to take risks and give their opinion. And here's the line that I found most interesting. He said, as we all know, there's a fine line between intellectual genius and craziness. And I can say that in all due respect, Michael Savage walks that line wonderfully. Plus, he's one of the best raconteurs I've ever had the pleasure of spending time with. He's earned this move to Drive Time, and I think he's going to do a wonderful job, etc. I want to go back to the genius crazy thing. I remember when I was a young kid, my father, who was an immigrant and uneducated, formally educated, he was very smart, never went past high school, never went to college. He didn't have the money or the time. He had to go to work, whatever it was. 5, 7 years old, he was driving a laundry cart. I couldn't believe what I heard stories later. He actually, remember like the gangs of New York? Well, he wasn't in the gangs, but I'm talking, picture those scenes. He was a kid, 10 years old, driving a laundry cart at age 10 with a horse pulling a laundry cart to show you how far back he went in time. And he told me he had a big scar in his leg. I said, Dad, what'd that? He said, once the horse bolted and I fell off the cart into a spike and it went through my leg. I said, wow. It wasn't real to me. As I got older and I started picking up strange American ideas, he thought I was a little crazy. I'd listen to jazz music and he didn't know what it was. He hated it. He came home once and he heard me playing some jazz on a newfangled device called a hi-fi in the living room. And he went crazy. He says, what's that garbage you're playing in this house? It was Nat Cannonball Adderley who I was crazy about at the time. But he didn't know what it was. You know, instead of telling me why he didn't like it, he just didn't like it. And then he used to say to me, you know, I don't know whether you're a genius or you're crazy. I said, well, thank you for the compliment, Dad. That's really very supportive of you. I didn't say it because I didn't have the brains to say it to him. It's a terrible thing for a father to say to a son, but it was said to me and I had to live with it. And all my life I've had to put up with people who didn't quite understand me, who say, hey, you know, Mike, you're really crazy. You're a crazy guy. Yeah, right. Thanks for the compliment. All right, there are many people who walk the middle ground and they're afraid of their own shadow. They're afraid to take chances. They're afraid to think. They're afraid to say what they think, and they're afraid to say what they actually think is going on. And they don't create very much. And those of us who try to create, and I'm not comparing myself with Beethoven. Believe me, I know what real creation is. I can do what I do on a small scale, but it's nowhere near what the greats have done. And I understand that. I understand where I fit. I'm not putting myself in some stellar category because I'm not there. In radio, I would say I'm one of the stars, probably as good as any that have ever been in talk radio, if not better. There's things I do that no one's ever done. I can do things on this trapeze that no one's ever done. And some of the storytellers that you all refer to were very good, but I've gone beyond them. I've taken the art to a new form. But having said that, it's only radio at the end of the day. It's not Picasso's paintings. It's not Chagall's painting of a fiddler on a roof, although sometimes I feel I can approach that verbally. I can't do it on a regular basis. To be honest with you, when January comes around, I'm going to be more newsy, but I'm not going to lose my views nor my reviews. The phone number is 855-400-7282, 855-400-SAVAGE. I'm going to take some calls. We're going to go on to other things. And at 34, we're going to play one of the favorite stories that we've been talking about all week from my paperback Train Tracks. Tonight we have a real treat for you. Maybe I'll just read from it. Maybe the American gangster in Spain is a good one. Everybody wants to hear the same stories over and over again. They all want to hear the fly in the tuna, tough high school geometry teacher, two fingers on his right hand. I read Happy and Sad Cufflinks last night. You all like Woodchuck Bill. You all love Dead Man's Pants. You all loved Louie and his crazed monkey. I don't know if you've heard the one about an American gangster in Spain, but we'll play it later from Train Tracks on the Savage Nation. Now let's take some calls. WABC, Tim, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I just want to thank you for your tremendous insights on the news. We don't get that on mainstream news, trust me. You've opened my eyes, and you've captivated me entirely. I sincerely mean that. Just 2 points of illustration. One, about the execution of the poor deranged woman in D.C., mainstream news didn't handle that at all the way you did. Not at all.
No, they executed an unarmed black woman, a single mom, and they got away with murder.
Yeah, absolutely.
They got away with murder. How about Obama closing down the World War II Veterans Memorial and the Vietnam Veterans Memorial? And I'm saying, wait a minute, by doing that, he's violating the ADA and the he's violating the Americans with Disabilities Act, and he's committing elder abuse. Did anyone in the media see that other than I?
No.
No. Well, all right, so I have my unique take on things. If it was crazy and completely wrong, people wouldn't have quoted it. Thank you for the call. Mary Strange, welcome to the Savage Nation. That's a name that may ring a bell with some people. Mary, tell people who you are.
Hi, Mike. I'm Dad Michael Strange's stepmom, Charles Strange's wife. Michael was from Extortion 17. He also was murdered along with...
Mary Strange's son was one of the great American heroes put into that old helicopter and sent to his death in that fiery crash in Afghanistan in that helicopter. A crash where more SEALs died in that one crash than in the whole history of their entire history, rather. And there's never been an investigation by the stooges in the Defense Department or the fakers in Congress. Mary, no, nothing new on that? Nothing new on who put them in that helicopter?
Well, Mike, Charles and I were in Washington. In fact, the day of the shooting, we were a block away, heading to the Rayburn building to... you know, continue fighting to get an investigation. We go with Larry Klayman. I don't know if you heard what Larry Klayman said.
Yeah, I did. He went off the edge there, but okay, I get it. And what happened? Did anything come of it?
Come of the meeting that we had? Yeah, it's all good. There's some.
But is anyone going to investigate who put all the seals on one helicopter and on top of it, who put them on an old helicopter?
Well, Mike, we are getting very close.
You are? You think you're going to get somewhere? Mary, let me tell you something. If it comes out that who put those boys on that helicopter is who I think it is, this could change the entire course of the U.S. government, as it should.
It should. Absolutely.
It should. It should. This, Mary, I don't want to put words in your mouth. Do you think that it was done on purpose, or do you think it was accidental?
I believe it was on purpose.
You think that the SEALs were killed? They were executed?
Yes, we do.
And why? Why would they have killed our most elite fighting unit?
That I'm not 100% sure of yet. We have a couple theories, me and Holly. We have a couple theories, and,
Was it payback for killing Osama bin Laden?
Hey, Dr. Savage, thank you so much for all that you do about my son Michael and Extortion 17, the 29 other guys.
Listen, Michael, why do you think they put all those SEALs on a single old helicopter? Why did they want them to die?
Either it wasn't bin Laden there that day. They knew too much. Michael was home in June, Mr. Savage. And he grabbed me three times, and I'm telling you, he left to go back to the base 4 days early. Never, ever, when he was on leave, he went back early. That's how much something was bothering him, you know? And all these...
What can you tell us he said to you? What did he say to you?
Something's going on with the team.
All right. Stay on the line, Michael. We'll be right back on the Savage Nation to hear more about the death of all those SEALs on that single helicopter.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The next time you see an Obama-Biden bumper sticker, and you get a chance to talk to the people driving their snotty little car with their snotty little face, with their snotty little hands, with their snotty little steering wheel, ask them how they feel about Obama quadrupling funding for an Ohio dam project in order to get the votes of the Republicans at the last minute. And ask them who funded it. Dianne Feinstein did it. She's the chairwoman of the Senate Appropriations Committee. That's where all of the money is. And she put this dam funding in the budget at the last minute. She attached it to the government shutdown bill. Senate budget bill nearly quadruples funding for Ohio dam project. Do you know how much money we are talking about? Have you any idea what they just did to you? Do you know that in another day and age, the FBI would have investigated Dianne Feinstein and Mitch McConnell? Do you have any idea that we're living in a country without any oversight, without any protection, without anybody representing us? This is the first time in my life that I've never seen any oversight of any of these oligarchs. Never. They're out of control because nobody, they own them all. They own them all. They own them all. There are no Elliot Nesses. They are the untouchables. And there's no one out there to look after our interests at all. Which is why Obama came out today and attacked bloggers and talk radio talkers. That means he's getting ready to do something. Get ready for it. The man is out of control. He wants absolute and total control over the news.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You know, liberalism is a mental disorder that's established. Today, a story occurred in New York. People will say this can't be real. A teenage shoplifter was busted at Victoria's Secret in New York City. The cops open up her plastic bag and they find a dead fetus while she's swiping lingerie from Victoria's Secret. And if you look at the New York Daily News, you see a picture of the so-called teenager with a nose ring hanging out of her nostrils. And you ask, you just shake your head. You shake your head. You start asking yourself questions for which there is no answer. There is no answer. There's no answer. There's many things you can say. There's many institutions you can blame for this. The number one being the destruction of the church by the illegitimate communist left. Because once they destroyed God, the kids figured there's nothing. There are no consequences for any aspect of their behavior. If it feels good, do it in the road. Why not do it in the road? Sleep with anyone you want. If it feels good, do it. No consequences. Throw the baby in a garbage can. It all comes from the same mentality. And I want to go back to one point. I don't know anyone other than myself, and I'm no paragon of virtue, talking about family values. All I hear is the economy. All I hear is the shutdown, the meltdown, the slowdown, the slimdown. Yeah, it's all very important. I realize money is very important. Borders, language, culture. What about family values? Has this been forgotten? Is it a dirty word to say family and values at one time? The family, the real family, not the fake family, not the made-up family, not the creation of the radical left family. God bless the single mothers. My grandmother was a single mother. But the mother and father and the child is the cornerstone of any society. That is the building block of a society. Never forget that. And if I had the power, as I've written in some of my books, I would encourage mothers and fathers to have children and raise them with tax incentives. The longer they stay together, the lower their taxes become. The longer the family unit is together, there's a bonus for it. A bonus for a mother and father staying together. You heard me. And I don't mean the made-up families. I don't mean the fake families. I don't mean the psycho families. I don't mean the creations of the sociological left. I mean the real family, the authentic family. Mother plus father plus child. It's unbelievable to me what's going on in this country, and I don't know how it ends. I have a suspicion I know. I remember similar things happened in other countries. I know where that led to. I remember when I was in college, there was a story about post-World War I Germany, and I think it was Thomas Mann who wrote, I'm not sure if it was him, it was God Sees the Truth But Waits, I believe, that was the title of the story. And somehow it stuck in my mind. It was about godless, lawless children in Germany at that time, who had no belief in anything. That led to Hitler. And so you have to understand where this goes. It doesn't just simply continue to fester. It becomes something. 855-400-7282. Floyd on WABC, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
My subject is the Wallbanger Show always has one Republican, one Democrat. They ain't going to make you do that, are they, Michael?
No. There's absolutely no. I never had an email from anybody in Cumulus telling me what to do or saying you did this or don't do that, ever.
Ever, because I know, was it the change of the year or whatever that was supposed to go down, these shows, even on TV, they got one Democrat, one Republican.
Well, it's bad radio and bad television, let me tell you that. People don't want to hear both sides. They want to make up their own mind by listening to both sides independently, not to listen to a bunch of people yakking and screaming at each other. It creates discord. I've listened to it long enough to know that kind of that format is a 1980s concept. It doesn't work.
Yeah, I was a beachmaster in the Navy, and I worked with the SEALs, and it's a sin. I mean, somebody should be paying the price for that.
Yes, that's right. Whoever made the decision to put all those SEALs on that old helicopter and put them in harm's way has to be brought before a hearing. It will never happen with Dianne Feinstein or Harry Reid in office, I can guarantee you, or with John Boehner, or with Tom McCann, the shoe man. WGWD in Florida. Isabella, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hi, Michael.
Hi.
The screener that I was a reformed liberal, and I'm going to take that back. I think more I was a sleeping conservative. And it was one of your books that I actually sat straight up and said, oh, my God, I got it. and it was, I don't believe it was liberalism is a mental disorder, because I distinctly remember borders, culture, and language, and I don't believe that was in your first book, or that book. I'm sorry, not your first one, but...
I don't know when I first, I know when I first coined the phrase borders, language, and culture, I distinctly remember the day I did it and where I did it. And that was way back in when I first started radio in 1994, when I created the Paul Revere Society at that time. And I was having what were, in essence, the early Tea Party-style meetings. They were called Compassionate Conservative Events. I had four or five of those, and they were incredible. They're great nights. I have them all on videotape. They're golden. They're astounding. They're a part of American history. It was there that I formed, I created the idea of what is a nation, what defines a nation, what defines your radio show, and I said, well, a nation is defined by borders, language, and culture. I remember the day I thought of it. Instead of BLT, it was BLC. Instead of a sandwich, it was a nation. I thank you for being a reformed whatever. Now, what do we do with it, though, when there's a one-party system? That's the problem. Who do we turn to? Now, here's what I want to do. The time is short. Neil, do we have the time for that or not?
Yes.
Okay, I want to tell you without further ado, let me just introduce it and set it up. In my storybook, people say I'm a great raconteur, and of all the books I've written, the one that I actually find most personally satisfying is Train Tracks, because they're stories from my life, most of which have been told on the radio, many of which you've heard over the years, some of which, of course, you haven't heard because you can't listen to every word. It's chock full of black and white pictures of my life story, I'm proud to say, from my grandfather's tailor shop at 548 East 13th Street. Amazing. He was a very high-end tailor, died at 47. I never met him. Imagine that. Never met my own grandfather. Came to America as an immigrant on a little boat, brought his family over as he saved money, worked his heart out, wouldn't take a dime of home relief, they called it. I was told years later by my family that nobody in my family would have accepted it. Nobody. They'd rather throw themselves off a fireplace, a fire escape, than accept a dime of what was called home relief. But today, take a look at the difference today. All the way up through my silent brother Jerome in his wheelchair, and whatever, all the pictures are in there. And from that book, I'm going to play for you a story called An American Gangster in Spain. And it goes back to 1969. Let's listen to it. An American Gangster in Spain from Train Tracks. I'll read a few pages of it. Mallorca, Balearic Islands, Spain. The first middle-class bum I met was soon to be a high school principal from Brooklyn, who smoked dope, danced the mambo like a Cuban, was with a lot of women, and walked with a minstrel smile at all times. Very dark skin for a Caucasian, and with thick lips and curly hair, he was the Hebraic male version of Abraham's wife, Sarah, said to be comely and black. Anyway, Donnie had just come back from a very faraway place where the wine, women, and dansons were said to flow as freely as an impressionist Paris night. I right then decided to go there. That summer, or as soon as I could afford it, I'd go to Spain and get over to Mallorca. It was a converted troop ship, the motor vessel Waterman, that carried my friend Marty and me on our pilgrimage to Donnie's Paradise Island. 2 years it took me to save up for that trip. When we first escaped our moorings, with deep foghorn vibrations not matched by today's jet wine, all of my past seemed to slip beneath my feet. This was going somewhere. The last person in my family to ride a ship was my father on his immigrant journey to America. Turning around on the stern, drunk with Marty and a couple of hundred other budget-minded travelers, and feeling New York's West Side recede as in a dream, I knew I'd cut the umbilical cord for good. Out to sea and seated for my first meal, I knew the next 10 days would be bad news for food. Cheap German food served by surly waiters not older than you does not make for an appetizing prospect. So I took to sneaking into the first-class lounge each night and heaping the tasty little sandwiches into my raincoat. Those ham and other cold-cut sandwiches beat the sauerkraut and potato soups served in our class. Anyway, I go on from there. It's very interesting, and I'll speed up until I get to Mallorca, when I met the ex-mob boss who eventually threatened my life. Palma, 1966. Many of you listening weren't even born yet. Christmas Day in Shotzi's Bar. I'd been there since the summer. I was a regular amongst the expats, mainly English retirees living on pensions playing at art. The eggy taste of advocat, a creamy yellow alcoholic slammer, was fashionable in the Mediterranean port bar. One thing I liked about those English writers, they just drank without a wink, devoid of cute American names for their addiction. So again, another season of too much alcohol, and of the wrong kind, and tasty but suicidal food. Shotzi, wire and friendly, took a liking to me. One rainy and windy afternoon, after I had motor scooted in the 7 kilos from Arenal, Mallorca, a beach town where I had an apartment, he told me to get off the island. Kitty whispered, his eyes screwed up behind a smoke cloud, "Get out of here, get off this island fast." I was shocked. I thought the crowd in the bar liked me. "Why, what do you mean? Look, you're young, all they want from you," he said, lifting a shoulder in the general direction of the others in that smoky bivouac, "is your money and your woman." Stunned, I looked around that tank full of human flesh. Were these angels and guppies really piranhas beneath deceptive markings? Over there at the end of the mahogany counter, his legs twisted over one another like a rubber man, an Ichabod Crane, a drunken grin radiating from his fixed jaw, was an English nature poet little known beyond that grave circle. Nah, couldn't be him. He was too drunk and too kind all the time. Collapsed on the bench along the right wall after cursing out some old lady who dared say Merry Christmas was a loudmouth Irish novelist whose latest had just appeared as a film. His pretty kindly wife and their 3-month baby were like a quiet painting next to him, she nursing the infant while her husband slept off his latest drunk. Nah, definitely not them, too honest. Well, the Americans in the bar, sure, highly suspect and therefore no threat. That left only Max, the ex-mob boss on the run who I thought had befriended me. Yeah, the more I thought about it, the more I began to believe Shotzi. "Listen, I know this doesn't seem real to you, but I tell you, you're in danger." My eyebrows arched and he ordered a free advocate for me. Max Roachman first attracted my attention because of his heavy New York accent. As I thought about it, it was Carla who was first drawn to him. I remember her saying with that tee-hee little giggle of hers, "You remind me of my father." Oh, that little... He had us up to his place after that first night. His Spanish maid, a quiet old lady, cooked an authentic spread. Brought over by successive waves of colonizers, the Arabs, Berbers, and Moors, fruits are very prevalent, and they accompany most courses on Mallorca. We began with local wine soaked in sangria, the fruits coming from Maxie's own trees. Standing on the stone terrace and eyes wandering up to Arenal Palace, I felt very much at home. His lousy record player was turning the memory years, 1925 to 1950, as this stocky old tough spluttered on about his wild days. "Well, what harm would it do for me to drink his wine and eat his food?" "Well, nothing. I'd only lose my money and my woman, perhaps. Maybe my life." Chomping on my first boar with potatoes and artichokes, I listened as the old guy reminisced. He sees me smirking and jumps up. "Here, you don't believe me?" And he rummages through some old photo albums, his maid looking on from the archway with a sad, knowing look. Headline, "King of the Hobos has penny rail pass. Travels only first class. He is shaking hands with railroad officials." Next picture. Two dark-haired sisters, one on each side of Max in a nightclub. Took them both home for 4 days. Next. Max smiling in an auto showroom, shaking hands with a happy salesman. Just sold him a Jaguar Mark V and a Jaguar XK120. A good time, kid. But my wife got mad when I didn't come back home for 9 months. We eat the paella valenciana, all the seafood fresh from then clean bays. The phono spins off speed. Over flan and coffee, he worked himself up to his true confession. A small news article tells us about his first murders. 2 boys in a train yard. Then with a flourish, he shows me a letter from then New York Mayor Bob Wagner, inquiring about Max's recent operation. "I got friends, kid. The books, record suits, coat shoes. I sneak a peek into his closets on the way to the bathroom. All from friends. Some items delivered by visiting U.S. warships, if we are to believe this old crook." "What happened?" I ask him. "I can't go back. That's all, kid. It's all over now." The memory years spinning off speed. "Too much, kid. I was too young." But this story came to a bad end. They're not quite at that dinner party. I must have known that good old Maxie was fiddling with my girl because days later, I decided to get past his housemate and snoop around his flat to find material for a story I decided to write about him. Against the maid's pleading will and unbelieving eyes, I talked my way around her objections, saying that Max had given me permission to reread his scrapbook. I don't remember what I found, but I did invade the man's privacy and was nearly killed as a result. Served me right, I suppose. But I guess Max had a shred of compassion left inside somewhere. Days after Shotzi gave me that warning to get off the island, I would see Max everywhere I went. Sitting in a restaurant or a cafe, or wherever I would be, there would be Max, staring at me, or visibly pointing me out to some of the notorious Guardia Civil, who we had heard would kill for $50, the going fee. That was it. I got the message. Shotzi was right. I left. Oh, by the way, I almost forgot to mention what kept him in prison in his little bar. He told me this on the day he warned me to leave and start a life for myself while I was still young. He said to me, "Look, me, I can't go anywhere," he told me, his melancholic puppy eyes wet with emotion and smoke. "It was my big night. I was lead dancer in London's biggest ballet. The performance was on. It was my call. I froze in the wings. I was finished. Here I am forever."
Savage.
Well, that was an American gangster in Spain from my family stories, Train Tracks, all fiction, of course. It's in paperback, available in stores everywhere. If you enjoyed listening to it, there are many more stories like it. Now you understand why some say I'm the best raconteur in radio history. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. If you just tuned in, you missed a great show. We had Radio King John Dickey and his appearance this morning on my conference call with leaders in the radio industry who are thinking about or have taken my show for the new drive time slot coming up in January. If you go to michaelsavage.com, some of the stories I've posted are so horrible I can't even tell you what they are. To have a president who attacks Republicans and calls them names and not talk about the Muslims who prayed to Allah as they nonchalantly strolled around the mall in Kenya and slaughtered children, women, and others, cutting their eyes out in some cases, throwing children in freezers. I want you to think about what I'm saying to you. A president who would attack an opposition party and those who oppose his policies in his own country and say nothing about Muslim murderers who killed Muslim and Christian and Jew? No, not Muslim and Christian and Jew. They asked people if they were Muslim and let them go. This has not been seen on the planet since Adolf Hitler singled out Jews for slaughter. This is what's going on in our country. The Kenya Mall attackers prayed, talked on cell phone between shootings. They got down on their knees after they randomly gunned down shoppers at the upscale mall. They took turns to pray while they were slaughtering, removing their shoes to perform the ritual washing in a room stacked with boxes, bowed down in Islamic prayer, and then they went about killing people, walking casually, shooting their way through a supermarket in the mall. Then they stop and pray to Allah. A man is seen whimpering in a pool of blood on the floor, crawling to get away, and one of the wonderful sacred Muslims returns and shoots him again with his gun. In between the gunfire, the attacker scans ceilings for surveillance cameras. You want to read it? It's on CNN. It's on michaelsavage.com. It's on video footage. The reason you should watch it is not for shock value. It's to know the world you live in. It's to know the danger we are in from the enemy within. A woman with two children is seen, and a third in a shopping cart, walking by a line of cash registers. A bloody teenage girl follows them. A gunman pointed the way. The woman and the children and the girl were all eventually released because they were Muslims. Christians, Jews, Hindus, Buddhists were not so lucky. How many people did the Muslim attackers kill? Well, we don't know. All I can tell you is it's being buried by your friends in the media who would rather focus on Ted Cruz and the Tea Party Republicans as being worse than Al-Qaeda. Do we have a chance to survive with such hatred and such insanity? I'm not God. I don't know about such schizophrenia. I cannot explain such schizophrenia. I can't explain Peter King. I can't explain Tom McCain, men who I once looked up to, now calling people like Ted Cruz worse names than those in the Kenya Mall. What more needs to be said? They prayed to Allah, talked on cell phones, and slaughtered innocents. Yeah, our leaders look the other way, huh? It's the Savage Nation.
Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
The big news today is me. I'm the big news. Why? Because I'm bored of everything else. I'm only interested in myself. I'm joking. But if I'm not for myself, who will be? If I'm only for myself, who am I? Radio King John Dickey was on The Savage Nation show tonight in a replay on a conference call today that I was on, where I spoke with most of America's talk radio program directors. And we talked about the show and what the show would be and how it would be in the new time slot beginning in January. And I told people that the time slot would not change dramatically. And the most important thing to remember is that I was called one of the best raconteurs ever. Look, let me cut to the chase. Here is what Radio King John Dickey had to say about my show and why he put it on the biggest stations in the country. He said, compelling content on talk radio's biggest major market stations. Compelling content on talk radio tends to come from people who are extremely smart, extremely curious, intellectually adventurous, and not afraid to take risks and give their opinion, said John Dickey. They can look at the things that are right and wrong with our country and society and be able to relate their thoughts and opinions in a way that is humorous, insightful, direct, and thought-provoking. Mr. Dickey went on to say that's a hard set of criteria for any host, but Michael Savage lines up wonderfully with all of them. As we all know, he said, there's a fine line between intellectual genius and craziness, and I can say that in all due respect, Michael walks that line wonderfully. Plus, he's also one of the best raconteurs I've ever had the pleasure of spending time with. He's earned this move to Drive Time, and I think he's going to do a wonderful job at engaging and growing the audience and at delivering the big numbers. In reply, Savage said, all I can say after that, John, is that you have set the stage for me in a way that I couldn't do for myself, and I am humbled by your statements. This eloquent introduction prompted Michael Savage to suggest that John Dickey might want to consider a career as a talk radio host, to which the Cumulus executive quickly replied, thanks, Michael, but I don't think I'll quit my day job anytime soon. It was wonderful. It was really wonderful for me. It was the shot in the arm I needed, and it took us away from the horrible news of the day, the growing socialism, the story about them praying to Allah as they went around the mall shooting innocents with machine guns, stabbing them ruthlessly, nonchalantly. If you look at the footage and you ask yourself, why did Obama just appoint a man to the head of Homeland Security whose obsession is with don't ask, don't tell, instead of don't kill, be well? I mean, it's unbelievable to me. Also, Obama administration embraced terrorized groups as moderates from the World Tribune. These stories are under the surface of what he's doing to our country economically. It scares me to believe that this would-be dictator is buying off the big money interests with all the goodies they want while going about destroying America's culture, borders, and language with a wrecking ball I've never seen in my life, anything like this other than in other countries at other times. Also, in the same exact manner, where the big business interests were bought off while the country was socially altered in a way that no one could ever imagine. Yeah, it's chilling. It's chilling. Yeah, I know Obama signs bill raising debt ceiling, and that's all Warren Buffett and the other oligarchs care about. But I care about borders, language, and culture. And look, here's the thing. I'm not talking about the shutdown, and I'm not going to shut up. No matter what happens with the shutdown, I'm not going to shut up. What I'm going to do is talk for a while. Today was a golden day for me, and I'm going to tell you why. Every once in a while, a good day comes along in talk radio. Don't assume everyone's happy every day doing this. It's a very demanding, difficult act to perform every day. Don't let anyone fool you. And they say the best fun, this and that. Not true. Everyone's struggling. And today was a good day for me. Why? Because I had a conference call with 70 individuals who run radio stations around the country and media individuals in the radio, managers, owners in the radio, basically telling them what I'm going to be doing when my show moves to Drive Time on the biggest stations in the country, the best real estate in the country, on the great Cumulus heritage stations around America, and many, many others. And I was so pleased when I learned that the chief operating officer, John Dickey, agreed to come on the show. He agreed only at the last second. And what he said was like a shot in the arm for me for many different reasons. And I want to tell you this. When you listen to John Dickey's comments, which I think were prepared off the cuff, you're going to hear some amazing statements, because this is radio history. What I'm about to play for you on the Savage Nation is talk radio history. Not only does it indicate that the decision to put Michael Savage on these big stations to replace the wall banger was not made in a cavalier manner, it was well thought out, but also there's a direction that the owners of the biggest company in radio are thinking of going, and I'm going there. Let's put it to you that way. Let me say this before I play John Dickey's speech from this morning. I won't call it a speech because it was on the cuff. I didn't know that anyone could be that articulate. I mean, every word I say, I'm in the talk business. There wasn't a word that was stated wrongly, nor had to be corrected. In every industry, there's someone behind the scenes that everyone wants to meet. They're legendary. for example, if you go back to the early days of movies, MGM, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, if you could have met Harry B. Mayer, there are many people who would have killed to get to meet Harry B. Mayer. Everyone said they knew Harry Mayer, but they didn't. They never met him. They didn't know what he looked like or sounded like. People in the business wanted to meet him. Well, in the radio industry, we have the same situation. And it's amazing that John agreed to come on the conference call with me this morning and that he gave me permission to play what you're about to hear. It's a one-off deal. You're never going to hear this again. I can almost guarantee you. Now let's listen to John Dickey, Radio King, about Michael Savage.
So I appreciate everybody taking time out of their day to join this call and have an opportunity to interact with Michael Savage. And I know you all are going to be in for a treat here, and it's a privilege to be able to hear him speak and also be able to ask some questions. So I won't take up too much time and let Michael get to that. But what I wanted to do is kind of set the table and give everybody a little bit of background on how this came about and why we feel Michael moving to afternoon drive and talk radio and certainly on some of the biggest stations in talk radio is really going to be extremely impactful and helpful to us. And as I've always said, if we feel it works and have good reason to believe it, we'd really like you guys to, all of you on the call, to give Michael's show fair consideration for the same reason. Talk radio, as all of us know, talk radio has gone through a lot of ups and downs in the last couple of years. And ultimately, what I think is going to lead the way back out of some of those low points in talk radio is more compelling content. And compelling content really is a generalized statement, but really, when you think about compelling content, the things that come to mind for me, and I'm sure all of you would agree with this, compelling content in talk radio really tends to be the purview of people that are extremely smart, extremely curious, intellectually adventurous, and people that are not afraid to take risk, and certainly not afraid to open up sort of the aperture of their opinion and discussion and look at a lot of things that are right and wrong with our country and society, and be able to relate that and tell that in ways that are humorous, that are insightful, that are direct, and that are thought-provoking. And that's a very hard set of criteria to find someone to be able to carry off in today's day and age. And really, quite frankly, it's been a very hard set of criteria to try to get talk show host to live up to since the beginning of this format when Rush heralded in his show back in the mid to late 80s. Michael Savage, as he's come into this business, really lines up wonderfully with all of those criteria. He's an extremely well-read, smart person. There is a fine line between, as we all know, intellectual genius and craziness, and Michael walks that line wonderfully, and I say that in all due respect. He is one of the more thought-provoking people that I've ever had a conversation with, and he also is one of the best raconteurs that I've ever had the privilege of spending time with. He's a great storyteller, and you know, I think in our medium today and in talk radio, we forget that we are in the business of theater of the mind, of getting people to engage and listen and spend more time with us by virtue of telling stories. And challenging people, and Michael understands that as well as anybody. And to pass on a compliment to Rush obviously understands that exceptionally well, and has done a wonderful job with that over the years. And that's why we're thrilled to continue to be in business with Rush. So, from my perspective, for what it's worth, Dr. Savage, Michael brings an amazing intellect, an amazing curiosity, a passion, an ability to tell stories. And an unending curiosity to explore and to challenge his listeners and bring them along in that journey. And he wakes up every day living and breathing this. And his energy is commendable in his desire to compete and to move the needle in markets that he's in. I've never seen anything like it before. So that's a quick backdrop on why Michael Savage for Cumulus and why Michael Savage for Cumulus in the day part he's in. He has earned that right, and I think he is going to do a wonderful job and really, again, engage the audience, grow the audience, and ultimately deliver numbers. And that's really what this is all about. All of what I said is great, but if the numbers are not there, it's all for naught. And one thing that we know about Michael Savage is he produces. And we're seeing that, obviously, in the day part he's in some of the biggest markets and biggest settings in our business. So we're extremely excited. I'm thrilled to be in business with him, and I'm thrilled to have him jump in and start swinging away in afternoon drive. And without further ado, Michael, take it away. Dennis, thank you very much.
Savage. Well, you just heard it. That was an inside behind the curtain call. It was very, very dynamic. I was obviously impressed with his commitment to me. I liked his statement that radio is a theater of the mind, which it is. I was impressed with his statements that it requires a certain intellectual daring and curiosity to do radio on a daily basis and keep the audience listening. And I'd like to ask you, my listeners, a few questions. The main question would be, what did you think of Mr. Dickey's analysis of my show? What do you think my show should sound like come January? Where do you think my show will have the greatest and most noticeable impact? For example, we have midterm elections coming up next November. Believe me, the show will have an impact on the independents. My signature is news, views, and reviews, and I won't disappoint you on that. What past family story do you think relates best to today's headlines? You know, this week I've been reading from my paperback Train Tracks. Do you like the way I interconnect personal stories with today's headlines, or would you rather just hear straight-out news talk? The phone number here is 855-400-7282. You're listening to the one and only Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
So that went on today, and I must tell you that it gave me the, it just gave me an injection of interest and confidence in the move that's coming in January. And I want to assure my listeners that I'm not going to just simply turn into a storyteller, although I could do that. I'm going to continue to focus on the news of the day, but I can tell you after listening and watching what's happening in the world and in the media and in the minds of the American people, which I believe I can sense as good as anybody, they are tuned out. After this last debacle, it was a Category 5 hurricane. The Tea Party gave it its best shot. They were undermined by the Republican Party, obviously opposed by Obama and the Socialist Democrats. And you know who lost, and you know who won. And let me tell you this. Even the diehards don't want to hear it anymore. They will only hear losers and complainers, and they don't want to be associated with loss and complaint. That's my opinion. Now the news headlines. Well, that's the latest. Cops say teen found with human remains in bag at store. Florida killers on loose after being mistakenly released. Alleged U.S. trafficker linked to Mexican cartel grenades. San Fran's Union Square reopens after bomb square. Mass vets remains returned from Korea 63 years later. College football team boycotts practice. All this and more right here on the Savage Nation. Here's another breaking news story. Police say a teacher high on heroin passed out in class. Yes, the new educational standards of America. Now let's go to the calls. WABC Bob, go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
I want to just tell you, just go with your gut on the show, and because that's what we count on. You know, your gut is what makes us crack up, whether it's the news of the day or your meatball recipe or little Teddy. He makes me laugh and get through my day. And I'm sure that's how a lot of you are.
And I've got to repeat again, radio is an entertainment medium. It's a very important entertainment medium. It's a great way to get out the news, but I will not get stuck and hung up and go on and on for 3 hours and wrap myself in the flag. I won't do it. It's embarrassing to listen to people do it, and I thank you for the call. Nothing wrong with the flag, but you know what? You're not a soldier. I love all of the talk show hosts who are suddenly martial arts fighters, soldiers, warriors. I never heard anything like this. It's approaching the level of a madhouse. I wouldn't listen to it. If you do, good luck to you. But, you know, turnabout is fair play. That's all I can say. And if I have the drive time slot and I play Yiddish music at the end of the third hour as a lead-in, to whoever they may put on behind me, or a Paraguayan folk music, that's his loss. I could play Paraguayan music for 15 minutes. I don't know what I might do. Let's go to the next caller, KSFO. Michael, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, Mike. Hey, you're the only person that does it. So before the night's over, could you do the personal ads, the ones that are really funny when you imitate?
Oh, remember those from the early days of KSFO radio when I used to read the personal ads from the Bay Guardian? You know, women looking for men, men looking for women, that kind of thing. Well, I did it well before they became pretty vulgar.
Oh, they're great when you do it. It's great.
You remember back to those days?
Oh, sure. I listen. Those were good days, and they're still good days.
They are good days. That's right. The sun still comes up in the morning, and Obama hasn't stopped the sun from rising, has he?
Not at all.
No, he hasn't stopped my sun from rising, and he hasn't stopped me from watching the seagulls hunt, or the terns dive, or the ferns thrive. He hasn't stopped nature yet. Not in my life. Sometimes you got to tune these people out. They think that they're the sun, the moon, and the stars. Well, thank you very much for staying with the show for all of these years. New York City. WABC, Joe, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Michael. What comes through when you speak, I'm in the profession of speaking, I'm a college professor, is that you're motivated by the love to want to communicate, and your voice comes through. That Bronx accent that I also have, whatever it is, it's real. It's street, but it's real, and it's intellectual.
That's it. See, it's easy to dismiss me as a guy who works on the waterfront. But I don't work on the waterfront. I work on the radio front.
Savage.
Not an appropriation. This is an authorization. I mean, and to have that put into a bill that is an appropriation.
You know what? What difference does it make? Why are we talking about it?
You hear the Bugs Bunny of American politics, Nancy Pelosi. A reporter asks her about the graft, the corruption, the pork barrel spending, which they created a new euphemism for called anomaly. Yeah, my day it was pork barrel spending or corruption or graft. Now it's called anomaly. And she says, what difference does it make? We actually didn't get enough money. It's incredible, beyond belief. The phone number here is 855-400-7282. You know, I'm the first one to say in the media that JFK, if he were alive today, would be a conservative. I've said for years now that the Democrats are nothing like they were in the past. They're left-wing fanatics. Take John F. Kennedy. If he were president today, he would be considered a conservative, as I've been saying for 10 years. Our next guest on the Savage Nation is Ira Stoll. He actually agrees with me and has written a book entitled JFK Conservative. He joins us right now on the Savage Nation. Ira Stoll, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Great to be here.
Ira, JFK has been dead for almost 50 years. Why did you feel the need to write this book?
Right, and amazingly, people are still talking about him. And I heard my conservative friends criticizing the Kennedys as a bunch of basically drunk, sex-crazed, liberal losers. And I wanted to set them straight that that wasn't true. JFK was a great conservative president. And I heard my liberal friends praising JFK as a big government, big spending liberal. And I wanted to set them straight and say that that wasn't true. And a lot of the policy issues that Kennedy dealt with, taxes, economic growth, peace through strength, the value of the dollar, those are issues that are still with us today. And the basic idea that he had that all men have and women have God-given rights that the government can't take away is a really important principle, and I think is still very relevant to today.
Well, why is Kennedy being portrayed as a liberal now when he never was a liberal?
There was a distortion that took place after Kennedy's death, and a couple of his more liberal staff members, Arthur Schlesinger Jr. and Ted Sorensen, wrote books that were actually, they were valuable books, but I point out in my book, they were deceptive in certain ways and actually distorted the chronology to make it look that, like, Kennedy was more liberal than he actually was. And, of course, the Republican Party at the time was led by Richard Nixon, who admitted in his memoir that Kennedy had run to the right of Nixon in the 1960 campaign. So, and Nixon was running around creating diplomatic relations with communist China and delinking the dollar from gold. So, and, you know, making detente with the Soviet Union. So the Republican Party at the time wasn't really in a position to explain that Kennedy was actually conservative.
What role did his religion play in his life?
I quote Cardinal Cushing of Boston in the book, who says, Kennedy was just as good a Catholic as I was. And there's testimony from his aides who saw him praying at night before he went to bed. He snuck into churches to pray during the Cuban Missile Crisis. He skipped bacon for breakfast on Fridays to remember the day of Jesus' death. Meatless Fridays was a Catholic thing. So he was actually really a believing Catholic. I quote Barbara Sinatra in the book saying when Kennedy visited Frank Sinatra out in Palm Springs, he said it was the strangest thing. He kept going to Mass to pray for his family in between chasing all the girls. So it's a bit of a contradiction there, but I think as a policy point of view, Kennedy thought that rights came from God, and he saw the Soviet Union as this atheistic, godless, expansionist threat. And he was very competitive. You see those old home movies of the Kennedys playing touch football on the lawn at Hyannisport. Kennedy, as a young man, used to sail his boat in races off of Cape Cod. Kennedys liked to win, and he was engaged in this global struggle with the Soviet Union, whether it was to be the first to the moon or to win in Vietnam or Berlin or Cuba. And Kennedy was a Catholic, and he saw himself as basically engaged in a battle for Christian civilization.
Did anything you discovered surprise you while writing about JFK?
Well, I knew that Kennedy was conservative because of his tax cut, because of his Cold War military buildup. One thing that I didn't know about was the Kennedy tapes, and we know about the White House tapes from the Nixon administration, of course, where they got President Nixon in trouble with Watergate and the gap in the tapes and all that. But that taping system actually was operating under Kennedy, and there are a couple of great moments caught on tape that I think show Kennedy's conservatism. One was a meeting with NASA. When liberals try to make the case that Kennedy was a liberal, they always talk about the space program, a huge government spending program. Well, there was a meeting with the NASA director and Kennedy about the space agency budget, where the NASA director is pleading for more money to learn about the science of the planets and the solar system, and Kennedy says, you know what? Every dime that we spend ought to be focused on beating the Russians to the moon, because otherwise we shouldn't be spending this kind of money, because I'm not that interested in space. Another tape from the Oval Office came after the March on Washington, where Martin Luther King came into the Oval Office after his famous I Have a Dream speech. And instead of talking about the need for federal civil rights legislation, Kennedy talked to them about more of a self-help approach. And he said, you know, why can't you African-Americans, well, he didn't say African-Americans, he said, you know, why can't you people be more like the Jews? Now, there was a people who was discriminated against, and they focused on educating their own children. And it comes off as patronizing. It may have been good advice, but unless you actually heard it on a tape, you almost couldn't believe it. And then after that meeting, Kennedy went out with Martin Luther King Jr. in the Rose Garden and told him he really needed to get rid of those communists that were in his inner circle. So those are some of the more surprising things. I also found some early speeches of Kennedy that haven't gotten a lot of attention that are really strong in terms of talking about the Cold War as a battle between good and evil, about America as strengthened by Christian morality, the Cold War as a thing of right versus wrong, atheism versus rights that come from God, and Kennedy talking about the dangers of the cynical philosophy of many of our intellectuals and about the danger of the expansion of the ever-expanding power of the federal government. He said that must be a source of concern to all those who believe that control over local affairs is the essence of liberty.
Ira, what do you want people to take away from your book?
Well, I want people to understand the truth about JFK, that he was a tax cutter, that he was not a big spender, he was for welfare reform, and he really believed that rights come from God, and that that's sort of the secret of American success, that belief. It's right there in the Declaration of Independence that we're endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that view has been really influential even after Kennedy's death. And in a sense, he's lived on through those ideas that are still relevant to our policy battles today. Again, the book is JFK Conservative by Ira Stoll. It's available at Amazon, at Barnes & Noble, at your local bookstore.
Ira Stoll, thanks again for being with us on The Savage Nation.
My pleasure. Thanks a lot for your interest.
I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
All on WABC, you're next up. What's on your mind?
Well, congratulations, Dr. Savage. And I wanted to say about thought-provoking personality, it goes beyond that. Most radio talk show hosts just hit you with rhetoric. They're schooling you. You make people think outside the box. And you not only teach, but you inspire. And just a side note, you have one of the best voices in talk radio. It's actually relaxing. Even when you get angry, you have a fantastic radio voice. I've been listening to you for 15 years.
Wow.
And it is just a calming voice.
That's very interesting. I heard that people used to play my show just to calm down barking dogs.
It's a remarkable, benefit for a talk radio show host to be angry and calming at the same time.
Well, I don't know how people can listen to people who sound like Fredo, who's screaming, I'm smart.
Send Fredo off to do this, send Fredo off to do that. Let Fredo take care of some Mickey Mouse nightclub somewhere.
I'm sorry. No, look, if you can pitch, you should be in baseball. If you can talk, you should be in talk radio. But if you throw like a girl, you shouldn't be in baseball. And if you sound like Fredo, you shouldn't be in radio. But thank you for listening. 855-407. I'm just warming up. If people are going to start attacking me, they don't know what's coming. They have no idea what I can do to them. Carter on KSFO, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Congratulations on the move to Tunis in January, by the way.
Well, thank you. What's on your mind?
Well, I mean, the federal government is on my mind mostly, and I'm breaking...
I know. Well, I'm not going there right now. I got a pain in the neck already from a bad massage. I had a masseuse come in. I never saw anything like it. I told you what happened. It's 2 weeks later. My right leg was out. So I don't like people touching me to begin with. Okay, I told you that. I don't trust people manipulating my spine and my neck. I never let anyone do it, ever. I don't like when I hear them cracking people's joints, I don't know how they could do this. You got to be insane to let people do that, to manipulate your bones. I made the mistake. I said, don't give me the Rolfing job. No thumbs into the deep muscles. No Rolfing. I want a massage, whatever. Oh, fine. Well, she knows I like to have my head rubbed. So she calmed me down like a turkey about to be slaughtered. And the minute I relaxed, she dug her thumbs into my neck. I can't move my neck now 2 weeks later. And my leg is worse. So, you know, the answer, the adage is leave well enough alone. Learn to live with your problems. I have a little story to tell you about the bums in America, the welfare bums, the welfare cheats, the lazy, crying, fake victims. One of the guys who works for me is of Korean descent. I won't mention his name. He's a wonderful person. And his mom was born in North Korea. He told me today, we were talking about the bums on the government dole and the welfare and how Obama feeds them and keeps telling them it's okay to be a victim and to take other people's money. He's infuriated by it. He said, he never talks about it. You know, he's very, taciturn. He said, you know what my mom went through? I said, I think you told me once. We had a few drinks like a year ago. He said, well, remember, Michael? I said, no. He said she left North Korea with 70 of her relatives, wearing only her clothing and her shoes to escape the communist Chinese who had invaded North Korea to flee to South Korea. We're talking a long time ago. He said they had to flee and move only at night through the forests. She lost 70 of her relatives on the pilgrimage, the exodus to South Korea. And she arrived with her clothing, and they left in winter in the snow. I said, what the heck did they eat? He said they ate tree bark and insects and anything they could catch. And when you realize what the human being is capable of and what the human being has lived through and is living through right now, and you see a nation of yellow-bellied leeches like we are breeding in this country, breeding yellow-bellied leeches and building up the number of yellow-bellied leeches, what do you think our enemies see? What do you think Putin sees? What do you think Al-Qaeda sees? What do you think the Chinese see? When they see a nation of weaklings being bred by a welfare king like Barack Obama. So don't think I don't see reality, and don't think I've given up what I think is right or wrong and I'm going to stop talking about it. I will not stop talking about it. Never forget one thing about me. I am an immigrant's son. In that regard, I have one foot in the old world and one foot in the new world. And I've worked for everything I have in my life. No one gave me a dime. And I don't want anything from the government. I never did. And let me tell you something else. The Tea Party, the hardline conservatives, are 1,000% right in trying to rein in this insane budget. And if you think this is over, you're mistaken. The crooks are going to come back in 2 months with the same exact problem. They can't go on like this forever. Raise taxes, which they cannot do in an election year, so they won't do that. Cut spending. They're not going to cut spending, are they? So what's the third alternative? I'll let you figure it out. But there's an alternative they haven't thought about, which I've given you for the last 3 nights. And you know what that is? Give bankruptcy a chance. I've told you we should default on our debt. We have to consider default. It worked for Argentina. It's worked for Russia. It's worked for Greece. And there's absolutely no great loss for us to default on our debt. When I heard Warren Buffett come on the air yesterday and have the nerve to say we should have no limits on our debt, there is no reason to have a limit on our debt, I couldn't believe what I was listening to. But then I realized all is lost. It's hopeless. It's very, very bad when you hear a businessman of his stature calling for no limits on our debt. Wouldn't you like to have no limits on your credit card? Wouldn't you like to be able to call up your banker and say, you know, I've refied my house twice. I'd like to take out a loan on the entire amount that my house is worth, not even the equity, the full value, and I'd like to take it out 10 times this year. Can I do that? Sure, you can do that. There's no limit on your debt. Go ahead. Whatever you want to do. You got, let's see, your house is worth $500,000. I'll give you $5 million. We don't need any equity whatsoever. Remember, when you get a loan, you need to provide equity. The first house I bought when I was young, I saved all my life and I bought a $45,000 house here in the Bay Area. I had to put down $9,000, not $8,000, not $8,500. The bank insisted on 20% down, or I couldn't have gotten that 20-year or 30-year mortgage. That's the way it was. That's when things were still sane. Now what? They give you a mortgage with nothing down? A no-equity loan? How many times can they give you a no-equity loan? Well, Obama likes to take no-equity loans. Nancy Pelosi said there should be no debt limit. Warren Buffett likes no equity loans. Where does this end? How does it end? It doesn't end well. If you want to comment not on my speech about the economy, because I've covered it and covered it, I'd rather talk about radio and what you expect to hear from now on. Let's see what else. Are you excited to be part of this time change? I mean, many of you have listened to me for, will be 20 years this March. You're moving with me. Do you listen to talk radio only for information? Or how important is entertainment and variety when listening? What do you find most engaging about the Savage Nation? Right? And why do you think Michael Savage is good for radio advertisers? What is it you enjoy most about the Savage Nation? What would you like to hear more of? How often do you visit michaelsavage.com? If you can answer or want to answer any of these questions, fine. If not, I'll do it for you. The callers will do it for you. WWTN in Tennessee. Dustin, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, I just want to tell you, keep on doing what you're doing. Since I have no grandparents left, you're like the grandparent telling the stories that I wish I paid attention to when I was younger.
Bar cracky, here I am in the old age home telling my stories.
Bah, Crocky, bring me out that rye cracker and some blankies. I don't mind being called a grandfather. It doesn't bother me. It's an honor in most societies, except in this demented society. They'd rather watch a young 20-year-old slut put a pornographic device against herself and then sell a record. That's the new hero of the America. New hero of America. She'll be in the White House soon. The ex-Mickey, the Mickey Mouse girl. The more vulgar she gets, I guarantee you she's on Obama's radar to give her an invite. After all, he might get that set voting for him. You never can tell. Sickening, isn't it? Not getting any easier. Obama faces an embittered far right. You hear the CNN, those idiots. Far right. What far right? You mean Americans who want lower taxes? Well, then we're all far right. Let's get a new bumper sticker. I'm the far right. Put it on your granny's car. Anyway, it's enough politics for now. What's in the news? Oh, God, it's awful. It's just awful. Here's a few headlines from the Middle East. Again, Obama put the Mixmaster into the Middle East and destroyed it. You want me to read you the Middle East now? 48 Shiites killed in terrorist attacks in Iraq. German embassy shut in Kabul. This is breaking news. Palestinian driving a tractor shot dead, crashing into a Israeli army operative. It's unbelievable. I'm not going to say the Middle East was a dollhouse before Obama came along, but you know what he did to Egypt. You know what he did to Libya. You know what he's trying to do to Syria. It's a shock. It's just a shock. And all the men died in Iraq for what? For what?
Savage.